بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من سميع عليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا بني آدم قد أنزلنا عليكم لباسا يواري سوآتيكم وريشا ولباس التقوى ذلك خير ذلك من آيات الله لعلهم يذكرون. يا بني آدم لا يفتننكم الشيطان كما أخرج أبويكم من الجنة ينزع عنهما لباسهما ليريهما سوآتهما إنه يراكم هو وقبيله من حيث لا ترونهم إنا جعلنا الشياطين أولياء للذين لا يؤمنون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن لكل دين خلقا وخلق الإسلام الحياء. وقال أيضا: الحياء شعبة من الإيمان، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Honorable العلماء, respected حفاظ, elders and brothers, mothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We commence and we begin with the praises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Allah who has conferred upon us innumerable bounties. The greatest of these bounties is the bounty of Iman in Islam. We make dua that Allah keeps us steadfast on Iman. May we leave this world with the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and may He resurrect us in the day of Qiyamah with Iman. May Allah's choicest salutations continue to descend and flow upon our noble master and leader, Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read Durood Sharif, brothers. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallam. Respected friends, we are witnessing today a clash between two opposing views with regard to human dignity. Friends, I need you to pay very careful attention. I know it is a good Friday. How good it is, inshallah, we will see how many stay awake and how many sleep. I think you should switch on the lights. So if anybody is sleeping, I can check on them. And I'm going to ask them in the middle of the bayan just to repeat what I said. Friends, today we are witnessing a clash between two opposing views with regard to human dignity. The first view holds that humans have an inherent dignity and status that has been conferred on them by their creator, Allah Rabbul Izzah. The second view insists that human beings have no more claim to human dignity, from which they differ only in their number sequencing and in their DNA molecules. In other words, they insist that from tiny bacteria to human beings, all are creation of accidental processes, and none of the creation can hold a special status over the other. Now, we cannot ignore that this is a debate that is taking place in some obscure religious class, or it is taking place in some philosophy class, and therefore it should not interest the rest of us. Its vast implications affects every one of us, whether we are in our businesses, in our offices, in our schools or our madrasas, whether we are in our homes, and even whether we are at the airport. This is so because society's treatment of human being, how society treats human beings, depends upon its perception of the status and value of humanity itself. If there is no inherent human dignity, then there can be no inherent human rights. Then unfortunately, human rights are reduced to a level of policy making that is calculated by certain governments. If on the other hand, we accept the first view that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has conferred humankind with dignity and honor, then friends, human rights become both serious and inalienable. They cannot be taken away in the name of this or that expediency. And the first view that Allah has given me and you human dignity is expounded in the Quran al-Kareem, where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, in the story of the creation of men, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. What Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ, that we have indeed conferred dignity on the children of Adam. Further, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, in the same story of the creation of men, mentions لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْهِ, with his very two hands Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala had created men. Further, وَنَفَقْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, Allah says that Allah had breathed into Adam his spirit. This was so because Allah has created men as God's vicegerent on earth. Allah has created me and you as his Khalifa. Allah has created me and you as his representative. So the fact that Allah has created me and you as his representative, Allah has conferred on me and you a certain type of honor and dignity. Islam is not alone in asserting this dignity. Islam is not the only religion alone in asserting this dignity. All previous prophets had the same message. Thus, we study Judaism and Christianity. It affirmed, both Judaism and Christianity affirmed in Genesis volume 1 verse 27, mention is made that man has been created in the image of God. Further, what happens now? Unfortunately, this view was challenged by modern science. This view that Allah has granted me and you special status and dignity was challenged by modern science. Resting on the twin pillars of Darwinism and Freudianism. What did Darwin claim? Darwin claimed that man was not specially created. Freud goes on to add, he says that man had no free will that would distinguish him from other animals. In his book Freudianism, he states that he further writes, he says, man was subjected to instinctive drives, unconscious impulses, and emotions over which he had no control. Thus, men cannot be different from other animals. So modern science challenged the fact that Allah had granted me and you dignity and special status. And they said that this dignity of the soul was a myth. Those who have been mesmerized by the achievements of science, those who have been mesmerized by the liberated, educated Western societies, have been torn between these opposing views. They claim that human beings have rights, then they proceed to forfeit those rights on one or the other pretext. They campaign for religious freedom, but then they go on to curb it. Friends, they affirm commitment to human dignity, then they proceed to defy it. Everybody with me? The new measures about the universal nude body sense. Heard about this? Universal nude body sense are the latest manifestation of this conflict. You see, if you want the privilege to travel, then you will have to bear it all. Now comes the big question. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 12, states that no one shall be subject to arbitrary interference with his privacy, family, home, or correspondence. Universal Declaration, Article 12, states no one will be subjected to arbitrary interference with his privacy, with his home, and with his correspondence. Everyone has the right and the protection of the law to such interference. Similarly, the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution guarantees the right of people to be secure in their persons, in their houses, in their papers, in their correspondence, in their effects against unreasonable seizures and against unreasonable searches. Now, respected elders and friends, these are the declarations. Yet we are told that we must bear all, or we must bear ourselves for examination by officials if we want the privilege to travel. That the privacy protection does not even protect one's own private parts. The distance between the proclamations and the policy is the distance between the two views that I have mentioned. The noble declarations are rooted in the first view, that man has been conferred with dignity, but the policies are in second. That they can examine us just as they examine animals on a farm means that we are no better than other animals. Now, respected elders and friends, we need to go back to understand what is happening. And we go back to the story of creation that will give us special insight about this particular aspect. To understand what is happening in the world today, we just rewind a little, and the story of creation gives us an excellent idea of what is happening. You see, it tells us that the prestigious status that Allah had given mankind had its jealous enemy right from the start. It was the devil himself who came up with the plan to show that man did not deserve the honor that was bestowed on him. So Shaitan, or the devil, or Satan's very first attack was on the most important reflection of his dignity. And it was launched with such subterfuge that its purpose was to create and produce nothing but nudity. Its purpose, from the start, was to create nudity. When under satanic persuasion, when under Shaitan's persuasion, Adam and Hawa alayhi salam had tasted from the forbidden fruit. Allah mentioned this in the Quran. فَبَدَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَةَ بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا وَاتَّفَقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ. So what happened? When they tasted of the forbidden fruit, their shameful parts were exposed. And then they began to piece together the leaves of the garden to cover the shameful parts. This narrator reminds us that the uncorrupted human mind, the uncorrupted human nature abhors nudity. An uncorrupted mind dislikes nudity. Respected friends, that is why Adam and Hawa alayhi salam frantically searched for something to cover themselves at its first occurrences. The moment their shameful past were exposed, they were restless. They didn't know what to do. They picked up a leaf from the Garden of Jannah to cover their shameful past. Hi, hi, how much of nudity is exposed to them? Nevertheless, it was this tendency that had distinguished human beings from other animals. It was this tendency of the abhorrence of nudity that had distinguished human beings from other animals. Respected friends, hence the reminder from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah says, Ya Bani Adam, la yufinannakum ash-shaytan. Let not Satan, let not Shaytan tempt you. كما أخرج أبويكم من الجنة. Just as he had tempted your parents from Jannah. Allah says, just as he had brought your parents out of Jannah. And Allah says, what was the means he used? What was the method he used? By stripping them of their garments. By stripping them of their garments so that their shameful parts become exposed. Respected friends, the immediate ayah preceding this one tells us that clothing is a gift of Allah. Clothing is a gift and is a ni'mat and is a bounty of Allah. And concealing the parts of the body that need to be concealed must be its primary objective, while protection from elements and adornments must be its secondary objective. Today we have reversed. We have made adornment its primary objective, and we have made concealment its secondary objective. Respected friends, in fact, this function that I'm telling you about is one of the central teachings of Islam, which is known as modesty, which is known as haya. We all heard this word, haya, modesty. Although normally translated as modesty, for the lack of a better translation in the English language, it encompasses more than that. It is modesty, decency, moral propriety, inhibition against all evil, with special emphasis on concealment of the body. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that inna li kulli deenin khuluq. Every religion has a distinct call. Every religion has a distinct call. For Islam, it is haya. The famous hadith, which you might have learned in our madrasa days, al-haya shu'batun min al-iman. Modesty is a branch of iman. Modesty is a basic building block of Islamic morality. When it is lost, then everything is lost. إذا فاتك الحياة فتعلم ما شئت. إذا فاتك الحياة فافعل ما شئت. When modesty is lost, then do as you wish. Respected friends, this concept exists in other religions as well. Just bear with me, respected friends, inshallah, when you go home, you'll enjoy your love travel after this. This concept existed in other religions as well. You see, in Judaism, the closest term to haya and modesty is zinut, which represents both a moral value and specific laws that govern the dress code and the interaction between the opposite gender and the opposite sex. Rabbi Aaron Moss of Australia explains, he says, the body is the holy creation of God. It is the sacred house of the soul. The way we maintain or respect our body is by keeping it covered. The way we maintain or respect our body by keeping it covered. Zanut, which is according to Judaism, listen to this, requires covering of the body. It requires segregation of men and women during prayers and out of prayers. It further goes on to the prohibition of the shaking of hands of members of the opposite sex. Further goes on, the prohibition of being alone in a secluded place with the opposite sex. For the most part, respected elders and friends, these are the commands of the subsets of Islam. In Christianity, the term used is modesty. I told you about Judaism. In Christianity, the term used is modesty. And we will find repeated references in Christian modesty, in Christian Bibles and periodicals about modesty. For example, one such directive indicates that in general, clothes should hide the body of the shape of the body, rather than accentuate it. This is mentioned in biblical periodicals. That clothes should rather hide the body, the shape of the body. Today me and you know, the tighter the jeans, the better itself. Then, Pope Pius VIII mentioned in the 1950s, he said, vice and evil necessarily follows upon public nudity. Where is the start of vice and evil? When nudity starts. Respected friends, unfortunately, the pop culture, augmented by the Hollywoods and the Bollywoods, and by the other mass media, intellectually supported by the immoral underpinnings, has always been and will always be a constant challenger of modesty. It is a familiar story. As the floodgates of immodesty were opened, the Jewish and Christian teachings were washed away from their lives, much to the lament of their leaders, as I sit here and lament. More than 3 decades ago, Rabbi Zalman Posner of Judaism noted, and he stated, the prevalent culture of Western society and immodesty. Listen to his words, friends. He said, the present culture of Western society, immodesty and nudity, has little patience with our values. And the Hebrew word that I mentioned to you of zanut is today, unfortunately, unknown to the American Jew. The French Catholic leader, Don Bernard, mentioned in lamented, alarming tones. Then he cried his heart out, friends, when he noticed how nude our mothers and sisters had become. He cried. What did he say? He said, the cancer of liberalism attacks everyone, and I urge you not to be infected by it. He further goes on to say, women who go to church dress just the way as women who do not go to church dress. It is a confusion of license and worldliness. As a result, the church is going to disappear in the world. Christianity is being lost. Pope Benedict said, one cannot implore, or one cannot sufficiently deplore the blindness of so many women of every age and station who do not see to what degree the indecency of their clothing shocks every honest man, and how the indecency of their clothing offends God Almighty. Lord, they had also realized the cancer of liberalism. Friends, they condemned the summer attire. They condemned the swimming suits and the bikinis. They condemned every form of nudity, but in a losing battle. Church leaders at that time already, at that time they had instructed every woman who wished to come to church or who wished to leave the boundaries of her secured home that she must do so with at least her dress being 8 inches below the knees. Fashion designers persuaded women to go 8 inches above the knees. Fashion designers persuaded our mothers and sisters to go 8 inches above the knees. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see which direction they went. Allah. But the scene did begin to change with the arrival of the Muslims, alhamdulillah. Muslims began to realize that nudity in a Western society was the same abomination that had prevailed in the pre-Islamic Jahiliyyah era. They remembered that modesty is part of Iman, and it is the mother of all virtues. Against all odds and pressures, they always upheld the banner of modesty. They became a shining example of modesty in a society that had forgotten it. Now in this background, respected elders and brothers, comes the most vicious attack ever on human dignity in the form of the new body scanners that are installed at all levels. They can take pictures of your body from head to toe. They are being forced on everyone, men and women. If they do go unopposed, it will be a major triumph of the idea that human beings are no more than animals, just as Darwin and Freud wanted us to be. But modesty is the call of the uncorrupted human nature. It is a universal value that will bring people of conscience together who value morality and who value decency. While some governments have introduced these machines, alhamdulillah, there have been strong objections from others. Robin Reddy, who is the new European Justice Commissioner, said last week's news, that we will not let anyone dictate to us rules that go against fundamental rights on anti-terrorism grounds. Our need for security cannot justify any violation of our privacy. He further goes on to say, wallah, these were words that struck me against. He said, we should never be driven by fear, but rather we should be driven by values. We should never be driven by fear, but we should be driven by values. The question begs, what values? That will be determined by the ongoing clash between the two views of human beings. When historians will write about the moral decline in Muslim societies in the 21st century, they will probably underscore nudity in subverting the moral fabric of society. We can get a sense of the rapidity of our fall by realizing that which was unthinkable a decade ago has become truly accepted. You and I know exactly what I'm talking about. How do our daughters leave our homes and teachers? But friends, we can get out of this morass by making modesty our number one concern in both individual as well as public lives. If we opt to remain silent, and if we opt to turn a blind eye in our very homes of the immodest underfittings that is taking place, then unfortunately we will have none to blame but ourselves for the terrible consequences. Not only for ourselves, but for the entire world. There is no Islamic life without Islamic morality. There is no Islamic morality without